This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everybody, welcome to season 3 of the Office Manager Diaries. It's Hannah Gray, your host here. And I'm really delighted to be back after a little break following our Office Management Awards episode over the summer. Really excited to welcome Rod, or Roderick, only his mother is allowed to call him Roderick in full. Rod Miller, who is the Head of Workplace Operations and Experience at UKTV. So excited to have you here, Rod.
I'm as excited, if not more excited than you are, Hannah. Thanks so much for having me here.
It's such a pleasure. And yeah, the first episode of our third season. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. Let's kick off with an introduction to you and your career to date. What's your history and how did you end up in office management?
I've been about a bit. My job history is incredibly eclectic, as is my musical taste. So I came into facilities management by chance. I was newly married and my wife was pregnant. And I had recently been made redundant. So I was desperately looking for a career at this point. I've done a number of things before then. I have been a removal man. I have been a debt collector. I have worked in a bingo hall. But primarily I've worked for the NHS doing sort of data entry, record updating sort of duties. And then a friend approached me and said, look, Mills, I am progressing in my career. I'm currently a post room assistant, and he said he felt with my skill set I'd be wonderful at the job. I had no idea what he was talking about. I have never heard of this job role before in my life. But I walked into the office, walked into the space, and I was like, oh, organization, fantastic. I love neat and tidy workspaces. That would be perfect for me. That's when I started with Incentive FM, or they were called Incentive FM at the time. And had a really, really great experience just understanding the facilities management industry. It was just sort of like this baptism of fire into all of the health and safety, the hard services, the soft services, and understanding people. And as I progressed in my career, I realized that a building is a building is a building. Multi-tenanted, or whether it's your own building, the people make the company and help with the experience. And that is where we as facilities, as workplace sort of liaisons, that is where we have the most effect and where we can improve that sort of whole environment.
Absolutely agree. People make up that environment, right? It's a collective, it's a community. Yes, a huge part of that community and that environment is the physical facilities and the consumables and everything else. I mean, even in the meeting room that you're in now, I can see so much behind you. So I'd love to know more about that. But it is very much part of our roles and making sure that the people have the highest possible morale each day that they're arriving in that workplace as we can possibly give them, through making sure the temperature is about right for everybody and it's hitting that kind of middle ground. And we know we can't please everybody. But I fully agree. And I love the fact that you've come from, to me, like I made a little note whilst you were saying it because I didn't want to forget. So this data entry for the NHS, which is very heavily administrative by the sounds of it, the debt collector even, the removals, and then this bingo side prior to getting into facilities and office management. All of those actually probably really helped contribute, right, towards, Rod is nodding heavily, like the bingo thing, I mean, events and bringing people together, but also the confidence that you must have had to have to do that role is something that you need to have in these roles. Would you agree?
110%. I often say to people that it was my destiny to find the facilities management workplace environment, because everything that I have done has led to this and my current role. I mean, there are some things that I left out. I mean, I worked a lot with children. So I was a teaching assistant in a primary school for a number of years. I've done youth work for a number of years. And that was my initial passion. I wanted to help youth and help encourage youth in deprived areas. But unfortunately, life gets in the way, and you have bills to pay and you have people to look after, and I needed a career. And that was sort of like the main reason for the shift. But yeah, it all sort of comes to fruition, the people interaction aspect, in terms of removals, in terms of lifting and shifting furniture, and not having to get external contractors to charge me an arm and a leg to do what I can do myself. And yeah, just so many different industries I have sort of dipped my toe into. And I would say, without any disrespect intended, I'd say the education side, working in the primary school, is probably the most influential part, because you deal with so many different emerging characters in schools. And as you mentioned before, you can't please everyone. So you try and find that middle ground where someone is not excessively wound up by that action that you've taken, but you know, they'll make do.
It's so true. And there's this element of it which we've had guests on in the past. I feel like Jackie Corbett maybe was in a nursery or was a nanny or something. And we've certainly had people who were in nurseries before. And it comes up a lot where they say it's that whole thing of being the mum or the dad, mothering and fathering in the office as well. So looking after kids is not really too much different to looking after adults in an office environment. And it's probably similar for you.
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, what is UK TV? It sounds like an amazing role. It looks like from your LinkedIn profile, it's based in the BBC studios. And I can see on this wall, basically, there's all these pictures behind Rod here. And I can see like Gordon Ramsay. I think that's Gemma and her partner from Strictly. Yeah, Emma Willis.
Emma Willis. Yeah, we've got Stacey Dooley, we've got Alex Jones in top corner. Yes, these are a number of our properties. So UK TV is a sort of like a broadcasting channel with channels that you may be aware of, like W and Drama and Gold and Dave. We've just recently gone through a massive rebrand. So all of our channels are under the master brand of You. So we've got it's You and W, You and Dave, You and Gold. And it's sort of in the same vein as sort of like what Sky does. So you've got Sky Movies, you've got Sky Digital, you've got Sky Cinema, you've got Sky Sports. It's that master brand of making everyone aware that, yes, this is part of the You family. And it's been really good. The master brand refresh was an enjoyable project to be a part of. And there were so many moving parts, and we were integral to that. And that's what you find. It's funny because I'm looking at the screen and I can see sort of almost like a nucleus image. And it's got like a massive circle in the middle, and it sort of just splinters off into other parts. And then there's other smaller circles. That's exactly what it felt like being part of that. We were sort of really important to that. We touched so many different people and so many different elements of the project. And it's the first time I've been part of a rebranding or a refresh, and it was great experience.
And did that mean that as you're running that workplace that you had to incorporate changes physically and aesthetically in the environment there as well to suit that rebrand?
Oh yes, absolutely. So we had mugs with the old branding on, so they need to be refreshed. On the cupboards, we had the old font that was used, so all of those had to be, so like with bowls, cutlery, plates, etc., all of those fonts need to be updated. All of the meter room names need to be updated. Color schemes need to be changed. Every single piece of documentation needs to be updated and changed, because it wasn't just the font, it's also the color scheme. A massive project for my wonderfully tiny team to undertake. And I'm incredibly proud. They handled it with grace and calm. And yeah, we 16th of July, we're ready and good to go.
Amazing.
East Saxon Training is a long-standing partner of the Office Management Group and a proud sponsor for this week's episode. David Hewitt, the owner of EST, has developed an excellent reputation among our office management members. He delivers fire warden training, office first aid training, and fire risk assessments, as well as general health and safety consultancy. And David's always happy to help with any health and safety related queries, especially within the office management portal. In 2023, East Saxon Training were voted by their customers as the Office Management Service Provider of the Year winner in our awards program. And with over 200 five-star recommendations, you know you're in good hands with them. If you want to find out more about the support and services they offer, visit www.eastsaxontraining.com or find them in the Office Management portal. And thank you to East Saxon Training for supporting this podcast.
So how long have you been at UK TV for? And tell us more about your team. How many people have you got and what do they do for you?
I've been at UK TV for this coming to the 9th month now. It's absolutely flown by, which I always see as a positive thing. It means I'm enjoying myself, which I definitely am. Got a team of three, so it's myself, it's a little workplace, and then the wonderful Janet, who is my workplace manager, and then the wonderful Cheyenne, who's the workplace coordinator. So between the three of us, we will, you know, keep an eye on the box standard stuff like the health and safety, running of the office in terms of cleaning contracts, consumables contracts, etc. But then we'll also plan events within the office. We work with our internal comms team to keep people up to date on projects that are going on and things that we need from them in order to make things run smoothly. So lots of fingers and lots of different pies for this wonderful team of mine. I'm very, very proud of them. I said to them before I came on that I was going to sing their praises and potentially embarrass them. So yeah, that's my bit.
So how many people are based in, do you call it an office or is it a studio? Is there a little bit of an amalgamation of both? And how many people are there? And what are the people, the employees outside of your team doing there? What are their challenges and roles?
So we're actually based in Hammersmith. So BBC Studios is maybe four stops away from us at Television Centre. We are in Hammersmith in a multi-tenanted building at 10 Hammersmith Grove. We occupy the mezzanine and the fourth and the fifth floor. And on a regular basis, we'll have upwards of 200 people at a time in the office. Company's got about 400, 450 people in total in terms of employees. We have creative, we have legal, finance, HR, we have digital, we have commissioning team, production, we've got our tech team as well. Just a myriad of different teams. And again, they all feed into the overall goal of getting the best content available onto our screens and increasing levels of engagement. Underneath our new rebrand, we're looking at very much a digital first point of view. So there's been a big shift in how we work and how we communicate and how we collaborate within those teams. And we're undertaking a desk move, which I'll go into detail on later, but that hopefully help foster that and improve that.
Absolutely. What does a typical day look like for you? And what sort of things are you doing from them on the regular?
Let's see, word for word, it's either going to be no day is the same as the day before, or there is no such thing as a typical day in workplace management. It's one of those two statements that usually comes across. To be honest, a typical day, I will come in, catch up with the team. So Cheyenne is in from 8. She'll do a walk around of the building just to double check nothing untoward happened overnight, make sure that the cleaning standard has been reached, and if there's any issues, that's raised immediately. Then Janet will come in at 9 and pick up one of the many projects that we're doing. She'll check the inbox and see if there's any outstanding workplace queries and work with Cheyenne in terms of addressing those. And when I get in about 9:30, currently I'm looking at some of the policies and procedures that we've got in place at the moment. We are looking forward to planning our next workplace social to be based around Halloween. We're also working on Black History Month with our employee resource group. So yeah, there's a number of irons in the fire. We've got a rooftop terrace that is being installed as we speak. We
Wow, that
are
is cool.
that is it's incredibly cool, and I'm willing, more than willing, to share some pictures with you. The evolution has been tremendous, but the main thing at the moment is our desk move. It's a big project. There's people moving from our fifth floor down to our fourth and vice versa. There's a lot of desk decom and then reinstall. So that is a massive project. We've got to make sure we're on top of comms, keeping everyone aware of what needs to be done or what we require from them, which is very little. It's the finer details that can derail a project. For example, our floor plan is going to change quite significantly. So that means we will need to rejig our desk booking system. So update the new floor plan, update the way finding aspect on that, because routes will change. Make sure the fire exits are highlighted. Make sure all of the external floor maps that we've got dotted around the building, that they're up to date. Make sure that all the fire signs are pointing the right way now, considering. So yes, lots of movement at the moment, lots of movement. So after this, we are taking a significant break, and it's just going to be an updating of admin we'll do until the end of the year. And then we've got maybe three or four projects for the new year that we're going to kind of focus on.
Wow. The thing is, I think it doesn't matter really the size of the move, right? I get a bigger move takes longer, but even when you're doing, a 10-person move, the work that has to go into it is still the same. You still have to give consideration to, I don't know if you've still got telephones there, like hard handsets, most people have got rid of them, but the telephone lines and the repatching of those at the switches and the ports and all that kind of stuff, and make sure IT know exactly what they need to do and you've got that resourced to then, okay, well, has this person got a special requirement or need? Are they like adverse to bright lights and that's why they were sat in this desk versus then, do they have a height adjustable desk that actually needs to be removed versus how much power does each person need? Because some people might have four screens, some people maybe only two, and there's just so much. And then, like you say, the desk booking systems and the floor plans and the wayfinding maps of fire evacuation routes, your placement of fire marshals and fire first aiders, if you've moved them around floor to floor, like do you need swing space whilst you sort out a temporary space for people? And it is huge, and I don't think people would realize.
No, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, she mentioned the sensitive desk. I've got one of those, and the height adjustable, that's one of those, and I've got multiple. I'm thinking, have you had a look at my project plan? Have you got a copy over there at home?
No, I have just done. I think I've probably done over 200 office moves in my career of 20 years now. So yeah, there's probably still some stuff I haven't come across, I'm sure, because there's always the weird and wonderful. But if you were to summarize a typical office move, you would certainly put all those things and more in there, wouldn't you?
100%. It's one of the aspects that is incredibly underestimated probably from an end user point of view, is making sure that everyone remains calm. Because, and maybe the pandemic showed us this, people are incredibly averse to change, regardless of the degree of change, whether it's a massive, huge swing or not. People are incredibly averse to that. So you have to gently ease them in. This is why there's so many comms going on. This is why you open communication channels. Guys, if you need to talk to me about any concerns that you have about where your team's going to be, if you have any particular needs that your line manager doesn't know about that you need to speak to us about, come and speak to us. Because as you get closer, the inbox fills a little bit more. Like, yeah, but Rod, what about, and have you thought about, and da 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 da. And I was like, cool, I've been doing this for a little while. I've done a few of these. Yeah, we've got that covered. And at the end of the day, it's not life changing. This is not a major surgery people are going through. We are asking people to move from one seat to another, essentially. So it's not huge. No one's going to die. It's not a life-threatening situation. So everyone be calm, everyone be chilled, and it will be fantastic. We'll have some teething issues either side, and that's absolutely fine. Everything will be fine.
There's a solution for everything. And also, it's the thing, isn't it? No one likes change. And everybody wants that window seat. No one wants to be directly under the air conditioning vent. And, there's all these typical things that come up. I think you're right. The communication is so important, making sure the channels are there, making sure as soon as you can tell people that they're moving, you do so that you don't get the last minute, oh my God, I need this, I need that. I remember these guys once, and we told them quite far in advance. So luckily, I managed to sort it out. But they'd already been moved earlier in the year away from the window seat, sort of more centrally to where we had an atrium.
Okay.
And then we were moving them even further away from the windows with this next reshuffle. And they said to me, we both suffer quite severely from SAD, from seasonal affective
Wow.
disorder. And they had little lamps already on their desk. So,
Wow.
that wasn't an option to explore as such. And I managed to find we had the incandescent tube strip lights back then before they switched to LEDs. And I managed to find through CBRE, who were our incumbent M&E contractor then, these strip light, like these sort of filters that would go and just be placed under the strip lights within the fitting.
Oh, wow.
These filters that helped support SAD and gave them that almost same thing. And I haven't been able to find them since we did mega Googling, but it was almost just like a roll that you ordered. So we had a load of it in after that. But and they were so grateful and it helped them and we were able to move them without a fuss. But had it not been for that and telling them early enough, I wouldn't have been able to have the time to do the research and find a solution. So you've got to get it out there, haven't you? If you can, and it's not confidential, to allow that time. And like you say, so your inbox doesn't get filled up with, because you're always going to get the Rod, what do I pack? And you're like, I've sent three emails saying what to pack
Yes,
and what to label.
yes,
And it
yes.
actually, I always used to put on the labels pedestal, chair. So they also knew crate, like what the like what label to put on what. But it still then would come through with some people.
Honestly,
What do I label?
they can't help it. And you know, even and I'm also aware that you have to find the right balance in terms of how much and how much you communicate and what you communicate to people. Because as I find the business, people are deluged. They've got the normal inbox traffic that comes from line manager, from colleagues, from external suppliers and external contacts. And then you have the regular updates from the internal comms team, making you aware of fire evacuation, making you aware of power downs that happen in the office, making you aware of the monthly, you know, we've got this event coming up and that event coming up. And then on top of that, you're telling people, right, we need you to remember to unpack your pedestal and label your screen and XYZ. And it's just for a lot of people, it's too much. And so you have
Overload.
this, you just go blind to all of the signage and the messaging. So you try and find more creative ways. So we're very image based in our imaging, in our messaging here. So I mean, I've just created the Halloween party invite, and there's very little detail on there. It is theme, date, location, done. After that, feeds you a little bit more closer to the time. But it's managing that stream of communication because there's so much coming at us on our screens on a day-to-day basis.
I've said it before, like our jobs are not only these mothering and fathering roles and making sure we know facilities management and being plumbers and being administrators, and there's so much involved, but we're also marketing. We're like PR people because we have to put PR campaigns out there and get creative in order for people to read our stuff, from put your stuff in the dishwasher to tell me if you're coming to the Halloween party. And we've got to find ways of getting it out there and disseminating it and make sure that the read rate, the click through and open rate is successful and high. And yeah, it's so challenging. So historically, you've had facilities management and these workplace manager type titles. Do you see any real differences when you've had these roles, or is it all much of a muchness? And the reason I ask is because I often summarize everything as office management. To me, facilities is a little more when you own the building and you're looking in the common part side, and it's really just the very much hard and soft services. Whereas office management and workplace management is within the tenant side, and that's where events and things like this come into play as well, which you wouldn't typically see a facilities manager doing. What are your thoughts on the titles, or is it more for you about the role? What's involved and what you're getting from it.
I think my own personal experience, as you said, the facilities management aspects was very much focused on the hard services for me. I struggled to sort of put forward my own personality. I am a sort of larger than life, large physically person. I'm sort of bubbly, I'm sort of excitable, etc. And I struggled with that aspect when I was the facilities manager because I wasn't able to influence the more people orientated side of things. And that's what I feel workplace, that title, I think that is much more about the people, about the culture of the business. And I think that is where personally I sort of excel in sort of, I love talking to people, I love connecting with people and learning small little things about how people tick. And then you try and find the commonality and try and introduce a connection where people are willing and wanting to come to the workspace. Because ultimately, especially after COVID, the big reset, it's all about encouraging people to come back into the office for whatever reason. You know, the CEO may want to make sure that they're getting their value for money, etc., or they want to increase levels of engagement. So we have a massive part to play in that.
My perception is facilities management, if you take the truest part of that role in isolation, is very behind the scenes. Whereas workplace office management, being part of that company rather than on behalf of a building where there's multiple companies, is much more front facing. You're much more go-to, you're much more influential, you have so much more impact and accountability and visibility than if you are just doing FM behind the scenes, hidden away, only doing out of hours stuff, so it's non-invasive and non-intrusive and all this kind of stuff. Is that where you would put the differences?
You put it a hell of a lot better than I did. That's
I
exactly.
would, yeah, I would disagree. I think all the points are relevant, right? And everyone's experiences are different, but it's always useful for me to see, especially with someone like you say, with this eclectic background and the job titles, but also the industries that you've worked in, what your experience has been like. Let's stick with that, where you have worked in this variety of industries now within these office facilities, workplace roles. Tell us about those different industries and what would you say has or is your favorite and why?
Yeah, so especially with Incentive FM, it was sort of close to the corporate side of things. So it was very much, I was a shirt, tie, and very professional. No, I said professional, very corporate is what it was. And a little bit, in terms of my own personality, a little bit restricting. And it's interesting because you'd have that in a large office building in Trafalgar Square or in Soho, but then you have that on a construction site. I'd still have to be in my best shoes and my best trousers and shirt while climbing under a table on a construction site to try and figure out the wiring because the IT team's not in on that day. And so that was a little jarring for me. And I intentionally moved from that and I avoid those sort of environments because I cannot be my authentic self. And that was one of the major lessons I learned going through a trying time over COVID was that I need to be my authentic self in order for me to be the best that I can be and give the client the best. I also did not like being third party. So your JLLs, your CBREs, who are fantastic, but there's that departure, there's sort of like that separation from being part of a company. And when I moved to made.com, I felt connected, I felt involved, I felt I belonged, and that encouraged me to be more myself, that encouraged me to do that a little bit more and invest more. It was a bit more relaxed, a bit more casual, no more suits and trousers and shoes. I could turn up in a pair of cargos and a pair of trainers and a t-shirt and yeah, be more effective in my job. So that sort of relaxed environment, very similar to here at UK TV, everyone is able to, because I think again, that's a way of expressing self in terms of how you dress. I mean, you can see, Hannah, that I am in gym attire today, very relaxed, very chilled. I want to be comfortable while I'm working. And I encourage that for my team as well.
Yeah, it is so important. I mean, I've come from very corporate backgrounds, and actually it suits me and it puts me into work mode to wear training on our health and safety course yesterday, and I was wearing my heels, and
Nice.
you will very rarely see me dressing down, and that almost sounds like it's a negative thing, but dressing outside of my sort of business attire, but it puts my mind in that headset of I'm at work versus being at home. But that allows me to express my true self because I am highly professional. I am a little bit corporate. I remember, Rod, while you've mentioned COVID there, being at home doing webinars because we did so many about opening up the office again and became quite a hub for people to go to who were really challenged in these office management roles during that time. And I was sitting there with my high heels on during some of those just to get my mindset into
Yeah.
work mode. And I think you're right. I think expression and being able to be your true, authentic self is highly important to enjoy, but also be successful in your role. And I think more so in office management when it's such an isolating role. So, yeah, fully agree. Really, really interesting. Let's talk workplace culture and well-being now. Experience is quite literally part of your job title. So, how do you manage and influence these areas within your business and within your role? And what initiatives have you personally implemented in your time there so far?
For me, it's that constant and regular outreach and sort of just talking to staff. That's how you, and I've mentioned it before, that's how you find out what makes certain people tick and what their needs are. You know, who's got kids? I can relate to that. I've got two of my own. Has anyone had any mental health struggles, either pre-COVID, post-COVID, that they are struggling with, that they need a space for? I can relate to that. That sort of interaction with staff on a casual basis, it allows us as a team to understand what can we input in the building. So I think it's great that UKTV, they have an outreach. They have a lot of mental health resources that are available via the internet that people can use. But also we've just had a refurb of our, or we're in the middle of a refurb of our well-being room. When I initially started, I'm a serial meditator and yoga practitioner, so I like to do that at least twice a day while I'm in the office. I may do a yoga session. I need a lot of space, but I may do a yoga session also at work. And I realized that the space that we currently had, personally, I didn't feel was welcoming enough. It was a great use of the space, but I felt like it could be more welcoming, it could be more open for those who practice Islam and pray several times a day while they're in the office. Mothers who are just returning from maternity leave who are still expressing, where do they do that? They don't have the privacy. And is a meeting room such as this the optimal place to do that sort of thing? No. We needed a multi-use space that could be accessed by numerous members of staff for their numerous needs, and accessible by staff who may have mobility issues. So we widened our doorway in our well-being room. We gave it a lick of paint. We changed the lighting, changed the furniture, improving the resources available in there, and we're hoping that will be done by the end of next week. But that's probably the main thing that we've had an impact on that has been introduced by myself. My predecessor was fantastic in introducing a lot of these accessible areas or areas for reflection. We have a wonderful green area that I'm hoping to build upon, just so people can sort of take a break from the primary office environment. Just a different, much more natural light, change of color, change of textures. We're introducing a creativity hub, which is almost an anti-meeting room. So there'll be no AV whatsoever. We're trying to change the lighting in there, again, the textures in there, and what resources are available for people to come up with. This is a very creative industry. So you want different ways of getting creative juices flowing, introducing quiet areas in our office. Some people, like myself, I have periods where I just need to close off, hear nothing and lock in. We have a number of members of staff that are like that. So we're creating areas for them to be able to do that, but not isolate them from the rest of the work community. So those are a few of the things that have been introduced or that we are introducing to sort of cater to as many work identities as possible. And those are only identified through conversation. You can throw as many surveys out as you like. As useful as that information can be, I often feel that people aren't being as authentic as they can be, but that's just my own personal experience.
That human contact and conversations is so important. And you're right, surveys have value, but there has to be clear objectives. They have to be well written to extrapolate what you're looking for within that as well. But having the human, the valuable conversations, I used to do these kind of monthly catch-ups with the assistants in an investment bank that I worked in. And there was around 20 odd of them. And they were kind of the eyes and ears for me because we had like 65, 70,000 square feet. And you can't be everywhere all at once, even though I had a fairly big team. And I'd give them updates and I would ask them, what's working well, what's not, how's this new initiative gone down? How, when we'd ordered like new stationery because we changed to more eco products, how are they going down? And it's the human conversations and contact is so valuable, which is why this hybrid working has to work well where it's on balance and you have people back in the office, as well as being able to have flexibility to work from home or remotely. So, yeah, I agree that there's so much value in that. And this green space, is that natural? I'm just visualizing it as natural foliage and planting and very daylight.
Yeah, Clive, it's incredibly, and even I want to do more. There's not enough greenery here. That's one of the main things. I want more. I mean, our green area is very biophilic. There's lots of plants there, and it's right in the corner. You can't see, sort of like, so to my right, what you see in terms of big window panes, that goes all the way around our floor. So we do have a great source of natural light and great visuals on a day-to-day basis. And so our green area is in one of those spots, and there's plants galore. There are beautiful comfy chairs, bean bags. Most of our offices wood floor, but that particular area is green carpet. And again, we're looking to sort of introduce more carpeted areas just to one, sort of change the environment a little bit, and two, to improve on acoustics in the building, because there's, because there are so many hard surfaces, there's a lot of sound reverberation and sound bouncing around. So even in this office, in this meeting room here, the sound bounces around quite a bit. So again, the sound is affected by the carpeting of the area. So yeah, just small little touches that can make a large impact.
I love it.
Okay, so in this week's episode, I'm going to talk about the different types of fit out that there are out there, because there are a lot of terms and expressions and acronyms in our office management roles. So I thought I'd share the tip on the different types of office or workspace fit outs. So very first of all, you have shell and core, and this is really where there is nothing in that space. It is very much a kind of concrete slab type look to it, where there might be very, very basic lighting in there, but certainly no air conditioning or other mechanical and electrical elements or life safety features. It's almost like the building has just been constructed and left as it is without any finishings or furnishings or assets or anything like that put in there. So shell and core is the first type of fit or sort of office space type or workspace type that you'll see. Then there is Cat A. So this is where your life safety systems, usually HVAC, so your heating, ventilation and air conditioning system will be in. You will have a suspended ceiling, maybe where there's ceiling tiles, or it might be an exposed ceiling which has been decorated and made to look good. And you will have quite typically a floor, so raised access floor tiles, like the big metal tiles or wood, if your building uses that. And that is your Cat A state, which is usually what most of us who go out shopping for new offices will see in these spaces. And we take on this Cat A space and then put our fit out on top of that. Cat A plus is where it's kind of this plug and play type thing, where the landlords are using this as a way to incentivize tenants to come and let and rent lease their spaces. So the idea is that it's really easy for you as the incoming business to quite literally plug and play, plug and work, essentially, by having all the data and electrical cabling there, all the M&E positioned into the right positioning and placement for meeting rooms and open plan layouts and tea points or kitchens, storerooms, etc. It's a really easy way, but you will pay a higher price generally to have that plug and play Cat A Plus space. So essentially, it's fully fitted, fully functional, fully operational for you to work in as a business, but the fit out has been put in and is owned by the landlord. And there are some legal stipulations and parameters that you need to understand around that as and when you go for that space. So find out more from your real estate agent or on the terms of your lease and service charge, etc., as to what is applicable there. And then you have Cat B, which is very typically the office spaces that most people lease and fit out themselves. So again, fully fitted, fully functional. You can work in it, data, electrical cables, furnishings, fittings, fixed assets, etc. All the M&E is in the right places, again, for any meeting rooms, open plan layout, storerooms, comms rooms, etc., etc. This is your fully fitted, fully functional space that you own the fit out for, which is our Cat B. Hope that's been useful, and I will see you soon for more tips.
Let's talk challenges in your career to date. What have they been, and how have you moved forward from those?
How honest do you want me to be, Hannah?
I'm a wear my heart on the sleeve kind of girl. So you be as honest as what is comfortable for you.
My primary challenges have been people. As I said earlier, an office is an office. A building is a building. That's hard flooring, chairs, aircon, heating. That's not going to change. Those issues are not going to change. You're going to go to a building and the aircon is going to rattle because the ball bearings have come loose, or a leaf has somehow gotten in there and it sounds like there's a bat in there or something. But the main challenge that I've had throughout my career is people. It's often people having a preconceived idea of what facilities management, workplace management, office management must be. This is how you do this industry. And any deviation from that is wrong and discouraged. And I've had a number of situations like that that have caused me to question myself and question my approach. You know, I'm the type of person who I need, as I said before, and I say it over and over again, I need to be myself in order to get the best. You need me to be who I am in order to get the best out of me. And I've noted that in my journey when I embraced self, my career trajectory just went like that, completely unexpectedly. Even coming into this role, it wasn't a role that I envisaged myself doing for a few years. The opportunity came up when I was actually pretty content where I was, and I wasn't going to take it. But I am so glad I took that leap to make that change, because this is the best environment I could possibly be in for my own development as well as for the development of my team. In a nutshell, it's people in varying degrees. There's the major effects that certain senior leaders will have on you, and then there's people who are incredibly concerned with the brand of coffee that's been used because they've been to Colombia and they've had this amazing bean that we should get over here and import it, and etc., etc. I'm not a coffee drinker. Kudos to those who have the refined palate for coffee, but yeah, coffee is coffee. You may disagree, but coffee is coffee.
I'm laughing on mute there because I too am not a coffee drinker. And when coffee is like one of the most sensitive areas of office and facilities and workplace management, whichever we're calling it today, it's quite challenging because you do get people. We had people at JP Morgan who snuck little Nespresso machines in and put them on their desk. And Rod, these were traders who had 8 screens and 2 PCs at their desk, and they're there with a little tiny little coffee machine that obviously has a lot of amount of liquid just coming out of it. And, you know, the building manager, Tony, I still remember he'd walk around because obviously we had the whole building, a dedicated building manager. Yeah, Hannah, you've got people with coffee machines on your floors again. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, it's not PAT tested. It's not approved. It's da-da-da hazard. But They wanted their Nespresso because we didn't have Nespresso coffee machines, and they wanted their goddamn Nespresso. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get this fascination with all the different beans. And I like red wine, and I can only relate it to that and the fact that I'm very particular with the wines that I drink. So maybe there's something similar with it. I don't know.
I think that's fair. Funnily enough, Janet and I were speaking about that because Janet is not a wine drinker and she's like, I don't get it. I don't get the taste. It's not that great. And I was like, okay, if you're buying wine from, I shouldn't say that company, my wife works for that company. If you're buying wine from Sainsbury's or one of those shops, then yeah, maybe the wine is not going to be of the quality that you expect. But I eat far too much red meat. So I will go out for a steak. And I will select a particular. I'm partial to Malbec. I'm partial to a good Malbec. So the right Malbec paired with the right bit of meat is, well, chef's kiss for me. So I equate it to that because there's a lot of people that sort of like red wine is red wine is red wine. So that's how I pair up.
I think that's the thing. You've got to use a little bit of emotional intelligence and try and step it back from people being essentially moronic and putting coffee machines at their desks because they're so needy about their coffee to, okay, why is happening? Does it mean that much? Okay, I compare it to my red wine or whatever.
Relatability, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's get to the time now where we hear an extract from your office manager diary, please, Rod. You won't believe it, but moment.
When I read the email and you'd highlighted this, of this situation immediately came to mind. So I had had a horrible morning. One of the kids was unwell. I was late dropping the other one to school. So I'm already a little bit flustered coming onto site. So I was on an office in a building site. And so this complete sort of difference between, the cleanliness and the eliteness of the office space on floors sort of 1 and 2, and then ground and sort of like lower ground you had where the contractors and construction guys were in, where the canteen was. So that was always dirty. People traipsing up and down with rubbish, just a mess. So frustrated with the cleaners that they hadn't got around and sorted that out. So my mental space was a bit frazzled. Anyway, I get a call from reception to say a pipe has burst just by the entrance to site. And I was like, oh, great, probably got water everywhere. It wasn't water. It was one of the pipes from one of the toilet blocks right at the front of the office. And Hannah, I cannot describe to you the smell or the sight that I was greeted with within 15 minutes of my incredibly chaotic entrance into the building. I wanted to go home. I couldn't mentally understand why this was happening to me. I felt this was a personal attack. Someone had intentionally broken this pipe just because, and it was all focused on myself. So, fortunately, on a building site, you've got some plumbers, and you have some electricians, and you have some people who are far more skilled than myself in terms of rectifying issues like this. But it took until 12:45 to get that rectified. Now, I started at 9. So by 9:20, we had to reroute everybody coming into the construction site. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are designated entrances for pedestrians and then construction staff and then sort of vehicles. And that takes a lot of work to reroute people who are working in the office through the construction site to get in safely. So there was lots of panicked conversations going on, and I was completely over it. By 12:55, if I was a crier, I would have been in tears. If I had hair at the time, I would have ripped it all out by then. I was done. So that probably is, that was my moment. And then I realized that, okay, if I can overcome this, I'm unstoppable. I can do anything. Because rectifying that and getting that sorted was, yeah, pinnacle of my career, I would say.
Your resilience
Yes.
strengthens through
Yes,
these.
100%.
Yeah, these are all tests in our careers, aren't they? To navigate, find solutions, pull in the
Yeah.
people.
And because of the relationships that I had built with a lot of the guys in construction, they were on a tight schedule to get certain parts done, but they were like, right, look, Rod, no problem. We can advise, and when your guys get on site, because typically, you call your external contractors, oh, we can't get down, or there's not a guy in your area for another couple of hours, and all of this was happening, but fortunately, guys helped us out fantastically well, and we got it rectified before the end of the day, just by lunchtime. But yeah, that was trying. That was a trying experience.
This is why I asked this, and why when I was thinking about the name for the podcast, I called it the Office Manager Diaries, because I could fill a whole episode or two about the things I've had in my office management career, from floods from an aircon thing to fires where a screen just set itself on fire to bomb threats in cars right outside the office and having to evacuate, just to re-say that it's an evacuation rather than E. And that's why I thought I want to hear from people like you who have had these crazy things happen in their roles.
Honestly.
So people who listen to the podcast often message me saying they're loving the tips and advice that I give on each episode, but also hearing from our guests such as yourself. What advice would you give to anyone who's looking to get into office and workplace management, or to those who are already in it and they're wanting to progress?
Go with your gut 100% and take that leap of faith. Now, often, those two things may contradict each other. And this situation that I'm currently in is one of those situations. So where I was before, like I said, I was very content there. I wasn't making the impact I would have liked to. I was like, it's early doors. I'll give it some time. There's some great people here. So I can build and make it work. But this opportunity came up out of the blue, and I refused it. Immediately, a friend of mine reached out and said, I think you'd be really good for this job. And I said, no. That was my immediate gut reaction, no. But I sat and thought to myself, and I thought, if I don't take this now, who knows when this opportunity is going to come again? And this is probably the next step to the next chapter of my journey. So I took the plunge, and here we are. And I am loving life at the moment. But I think my outlook on things is slightly different in terms of I just want to embrace the moment and live every moment to its fullest and then see how things go.
I love that. You can only control yourself and your decisions and everything else. And it's so important to remember that, especially in these roles, I think, because I always say to people, we can't control people. When we put health and safety things in place or ask them to put their stuff in the dishwasher, you just have to accept that we can't control people, and people are going to piss us off, quite frankly, at times.
Exactly
So,
that. Exactly.
So what's the craziest thing, which sounds like just a really bad,
Just
it felt
hot.
like a karma kind of day. What's the craziest thing that you've ever experienced in this profession?
We had a member of staff. So this was pre-COVID, so Thursday was drinking, and everyone was still in on the following day. So we had a member of staff who left the office and went on a binging journey, came back to the office, and had what I can only describe as a solo strip club experience.
What's the actual?
You could see on the CCTV this rather large gentleman just doing his own routine and performance on it was the staircase. So he is spinning around on this pole and inevitably takes an incredible fall, hits the floor. Cannot navigate himself up because of his stature, as well as the fact that he's rather inebriated. And you can just see him stumbling. He's kind of you think he's got it, and then he hits the wall, and then he gathered himself, and he thinks he's got it, and then he's into some desks. And it was madness to watch this take place on CCTV. Then upon leaving the building, he used the communal bathroom and did not hit his intended target. And because we knew who it was, or because security knew who it was, they need to contact myself and say, Rod, just so you know, there's a bit of a situation in our communal bathroom, and it was one of your members of staff wondering if you could get your cleaning team to have a look and sort that out. And it was grim, Hannah. It was grim.
Oh my goodness. People are so wrong.
More like a WTF moment.
It really was. It reminds me, hence I say, I swear, I should write it all down, really, because one day I'm sure I'll forget. Yeah. just get all the office managers I'm connected to write a collab and do a book of craziest things in the office. It reminds me of when we had a Christmas party, and I don't know if I've already talked about this on the pod or not. I start to forget, but we had a similar situation in the disabled toilet, which was not demised to us, but was our responsibility to clean and maintain, which was a very odd thing. And I came in a little bit late because I was slightly jaded as well. And my reception team, Karen and Jane, said Peter's had to deal with something. He was our early morning cleaner, had to deal with something in the disabled toilet this morning. I can't remember if they left it there for me to see. I don't think I saw it. I was like, should I see it when I'm feeling a little bit crap myself? And they had missed their target, to use your language, and managed to get, I'm so sorry, hopefully no one's eating right now. I should probably do a warning at the start of this, but around 50 odd minutes in, don't eat. But they managed to get it on the walls somehow.
Yeah.
And so I actually sent an email around, because we didn't know who it was, to the whole company, say, like, all the staff in the London office, saying to whoever that was, you probably need to take yourself home, which was with the consent of HR, because my boss was the head of HR, and it wasn't a calling you out kind of thing. It was like, you probably ought to go home because you're clearly very unwell.
Not recovered well at all.
Yeah. Oh, it was, oh goodness, people. But that's why I love doing this podcast, because we share the highs and the lows and the shit stories. Yeah.
The literal shit stories.
The literal shit stories, as well as the really shitty stories that are just when people are being jackasses. Yeah. So what about the future? Where do you want to get to, and what do you want to be doing, Rod?
So this is the thing. And this may sound really strange, I don't have any overriding sort of desires or ambitions within the workspace environment. I love workplace management. I love the job that I do. However, I love working with people. I love the mentoring aspect of, you know, working with people and working with my team. So maybe I'll look into doing some mentoring. But if an opportunity comes up, which is, okay, so my overall goal is to live on a farm. I want my own farm. I want to herd pigs and chickens, and I want peace and quiet and relaxation, a bit of hard graft, but I just want to be disconnected from city life. I'm London City born and bred, but I just want to have a bit of a disconnect. So the next, whatever I do next, is to facilitate that overall dream. So if it's mentoring, like a mentor from my farm, fantastic. If it is a next step up to another level where I can have a positive influence on the workplace management environment or culture, then fantastic. As long as it doesn't take me away from my babies and my gorgeous wife, then cool. But I am open to everything. I will never shut my mind off to any opportunity that arises.
I love that. It's probably one of my favorite answers to that question of all, because it wasn't so bog standard. So I love
Luckily,
it.
about me, I'm not bog standard at all.
I'm just going to say I've gone to toilets again there, haven't I, with my words as well. But anyway, that's facilities in office management life for you. So,
Is 100%.
Rod, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you better. Thank you so much for coming on the Office Manager Diaries with me.
Pleasure has been mine. Absolutely, Hannah. Thank you so much.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all in one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.